Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. Today we're going to share Sybil's near-death experience as recorded on the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation website. And she says, it was winter in 1986, and I had gone to bed as I normally do. Sleep would not come. I tossed and turned, hoping to fall asleep and join my husband in a good winter's night's sleep. I was not asleep yet, and I felt my heart pounding out of rhythm. I had been diagnosed with mitral valve prolapse, and I thought it was just another happening like those I had remembered having at other times. Then suddenly, my heart stopped. I could feel my spirit come out of my body, and I saw my body lying there as if asleep. I was carried, as if by angels, though I did not see them, far up into the heavens and at a great speed. I was taken to a place surrounded by music. It was like no music I had ever heard, more beautiful than all the best music my ears have heard, and it came from everywhere. I stood there, and suddenly I saw Jesus. It was quite an awesome shock to be standing in his presence. I was in such awe. I could not speak. My eyes were fixed upon him. His hair was like wool and hung down to his shoulders. His skin was like brass without one wrinkle. His eyes were like flames of fire. And when he spoke, it was with great authority. Yet when he spoke, it was kind and gentle and loving. When he spoke, it sounded like thunder rolling across the North Carolina skies, but much louder than any I had ever heard. You would think I would have been afraid, but I was not. Quite the contrary, I felt happy. I felt so happy, a feeling like none other I had ever felt. Then he took me to look. He told me to look, and I saw a white cloud-like form. Inside the white background, I was shown my life from beginning to end, but only the painful parts. As he unfolded my life before me, he told me the reason all these bad things had happened, and I understood every one of them. The unusual thing was, his lips never moved. It was as if his thoughts were sent directly to my mind, and I saw and understood everything he told me. Then he said, all the bad things are gone. No more bad things are going to happen, but you must go back because your work is not finished. I felt sad because I wanted to stay there with him. I don't know if it was heaven or not. I just know I was the happiest person in the world. He showed me briefly a city with lots of people. Green grass grew and children were running, laughing, and playing. Older men in white robes were teaching young children, as if in school. Women were very busy getting ready for what looked like a great event. They were all dressed in white as well. Flowers bloomed and green trees with lots of fruit stood along a river of running water, like a rippling stream, but larger. Its water was clear as glass. Such a sight I saw. Everyone was busy. Even the air smelled sweet, like a rose. I was then sent back to Earth. I don't know how long I was gone, but I remember my spirit going back inside my body, for it was so, so cold. So cold it took me hours to get warm. My body was trying to get in rhythm, and I was convulsing on the bed next to my husband. I was shivering. My body was so cold. I was so happy I woke my husband because I had to tell someone. I tried to tell him, but all he could say was, I understand now. Of course, it brought him from a deep sleep to wide awake. He had no idea what I was talking about. He questioned me, asking me to slow down and tell him what was wrong, but all I could say was, Don't you understand? I understand. This left him wondering, I suppose. It took hours for my body to get warm. I figured out my temperature to see how many degrees it had fallen. It had fallen over 6 degrees. I do know it had dropped at least six degrees. I spoke with a coroner, and he stated that in death, the body drops about 2 degrees or so per hour. If this is true, then I had been gone a good bit of time. You might think this is just another person's wild tale about an out-of-body experience. Well, it isn't. I saw Jesus. I know he is real. I don't have to doubt. I know. I also know I was the happiest person alive at that moment. I have never seen hell, nor do I want to, but I have seen Jesus, and I have been to heaven. You can think I'm crazy, but I'm as sane as a person can be. You might think it was a dream, but your body temperature doesn't drop in a dream. All I can tell you is heaven is real. There are people there, and they are very busy getting ready for something really big. I have seen Jesus, and he spoke to me. That's the end of the experience. You know, when I set out to study these things, I wanted to hear from all different cultures, all different backgrounds, and I have. And remarkably, as I've mentioned before, the experiences are so much the same. I mean, atheists and Buddhists and all that, while they do have, many of them have experiences that reflect a little bit more of their religious tradition, or at least they seem to interpret them by their religious tradition, there are some common elements, and one of them is seeing Jesus. I've heard of, you know, Buddhists seeing Jesus and Muslims seeing Jesus. And, you know, it's not like it's necessarily totally inconsistent with everybody's beliefs that there is the existence of this fellow named Jesus. I think most people would acknowledge that he was a historical figure. But when you read about so many accounts of the things that he's doing and in love for them, it's clear that he stands out. It's clear that regardless of your religious tradition, Jesus is somebody who stands in the afterlife as a great figure. Now, to me, that's an understatement beyond all understatements. Okay, he's somebody who is the dearest and most valuable person who has ever lived a mortal life on this earth. And I strongly feel that. And so when I come across these kinds of experiences, I'm like, oh good, another Jesus one. And I do like those more, but I don't necessarily give precedent to them or put them above in terms of, you know, it's mostly in the quality of the experience and the depth of it. There are some experiences that I don't share that I come across because the experience is short, and then it's just all this interpretation and quoting of scripture and quoting of various ancient records and you know, talk of Akashic records and things like that, all of which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. It just doesn't seem to fit the bill of the podcast, which is near-death experiences, the happenings of those who go to the other side of the veil. And so when I come across so many, at such a high percentage of them, who meet Jesus, this is unique to me, because even in my Christian background, you know, we believe that we will see Jesus someday. But I'm not sure there are many of us who have assumed that the moment we leave this life, we will go into a life and there will be Jesus right in front of us. I think it's more like, you know, we'll go to heaven, pearly gates, whatever, you know, and there'll be some kind of reception. And then at some point in the distant future, there will be Jesus in this, you know, I don't know, you know, on this throne at a distance and so forth, and he will love us and so forth, but he will still be this kind of monarch figure in the clouds, you know, at a distance kind of thing. And I know that's not what everybody believes and so forth, but what I'm finding is that not only is he this grand character, but in near-death experiences, I'm finding that he is a very personable individual friend of people. You know, when people see him, they spend days with him, just him and them, you know, and I say days, you know, time is all like whatever, but people, all the things people are doing, they're like, with all that I did, it must have been weeks. You know, as they list out the things, all the things that they did with Jesus, they say, in earth time, that would take at least weeks to do that. And just the thought of, you know, on earth, for example, coming to somebody so important, somebody who's so famous, if you will, and being able to spend weeks with them one-on-one, what? That just doesn't happen. And if you are one of the lucky few, then it's because you're a secretary or because you're a family member or something. Whereas in the case of Jesus and the near-death experience, he can be best friends and spend oodles and oodles of time individually with each of us, talking and laughing and dancing and you know, getting a tour of the universe and showing each other our lives together. I mean, people are sharing lives back and forth with Jesus. They're you know, sharing their life review with him, and he talks with them and says, oh, this is a time when you were really struggling with this, and be patient with yourself and so forth. And then he shows them his life and his sacrifice and so forth. And I know it sounds trope to see that, but he's showing us his life review, and we're showing him ours. And it's this joint experience of the most intimate friendship that I can imagine. I mean, remarkable. That's what kind of being he is. He's the most personable, the most loving, the most friendly, the most fun, the most joyful being that I've heard of people coming across. Now, the cool thing about it is that he's not the only one that is cool on the other side. You know, people go and they see their grandma or they see their grandpa or their great third great uncle or whatever, and or maybe just some other character that stood out in their mind. I mean, people have talked about spending hours talking with Einstein or with Isaac Newton or other people who have died, and it's kind of like, wait a minute, what, like, is Isaac Newton just going around greeting everybody? No, it's and not everybody sees him. So, but the people who want to do, which tells me if there's somebody that you want to meet on the other side when you get there, chances are you can. Now, if you're scheduled to come back, you might not be given that opportunity. You might be told, I'm sorry, you've got to go back. When you come back, you can see all these people, whatever. But honestly, most of us, especially those of us who have not had a near-death experience, we're just going to die, and we're going to go to the other side, and that's going to be the end of it. That's how it's going to be for most people. And by most people, I mean, you know, 90%, something like that. And the other percent, the other 10%, may have a near-death experience, and then later they will die. And at the time of their final death, where they're not going to return, they will be in this place where access to people is not a problem. I don't know why, I don't know how, but that seems to be the case. And how cool is that? Who do you want to meet when you get to the other side? I know Jesus is my first in line. You know, it's you know, and I do have family that I want to see and so forth, definitely, no question about that. They, in fact, I suspect it will be family to greet me, maybe even give me the initial tour, but then I'm going to tell them, I want you to introduce me to Jesus, or I want you to take me to him. Won't need an introduction because we knew each other well. From what I understand, we were best friends, just like every one of you were best friends with him also. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But that seems to be the case. And it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. So cool. There's just, you know, this life has so many things that's different about it, you know, including pain and the physical nature of, you know, cold and hot and, you know, any discomforts and so forth. But one of the things that has different is that people aren't nearly as accessible. And I don't just mean, you know, that they're far away and yeah, okay, maybe you can get the cell phone of, I don't know, let's say Brad Pitt, and if you could get his email, maybe he would respond. And you know how you'd be like, hey, guess what? Brad Pitt responded to my email. And, you know, it's kind of this special thing if you ever come in contact with somebody famous. That's unique to the mortal experience. From what I'm reading, that's unique to the mortal experience. You want to meet Einstein on the other side? Yeah, go for it. He's ready to talk to you. And you think, but doesn't he have a lot to do? Yes, he does, and he will be doing it. But there's no time, which means that there's also time for you. At least that's the impression I'm getting. And how cool is that? How cool is that? Anyway, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by going to patreon.com/ndecast and become an ongoing monthly contributor. If you would like to contact the podcast, you can do that by emailing neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com or by calling 970-NDECast. That will give you 3 minutes of time to leave your message or share your experience or ask your question. If you need more time, just call right back and keep calling back until you get it all in. I will splice it easily together with my audio equipment. Or another thing you can do if you want to share your experience in a bigger file, just record it on your phone or on a YouTube video, something like that. You can make it private if you're self-conscious about your face or whatever showing up, and share your experience. Send me a link and I can turn it into audio and put it on the podcast. I'd love to share your experience. So with that, again, all of you, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening.